Earlier this week, I got a test DVD of the new Rudy material that Bob Sink has been working on for the last year or so. In a sense, it's very hard to describe the experience of someone who's been gone for so long reappearing so deeply and completely in a material form in your life. The DVD is so overwhelmingly beautiful and captures so much more of Rudy than I even knew existed in the sense of film and talks. I just sat there in a kind of state of wonder. I think I felt what the early disciples must have felt when Christ returned to them out of the blue. It's so overwhelming to have so much of the presence of this extraordinary being still around. And it has been captured with a kind of clarity that none of you have seen, even on the DVD that we show every year on Rudy's Samadhi. And that DVD, as wonderful as it is only now a portion of something much bigger. And I really can't wait to share it with everybody. I don't even know quite how. I suspect every Samadhi will show different segments or something of that nature. And of course, it's available for everyone to purchase if they want it. I don't know its value emotionally for people who didn't get to know Rudy in those days. I think it has great value, but for those of us who were there, it's like a resurrection. Among the many pieces that are there is one piece which is just called Rudy on the Front Lawn. And it's Rudy sitting with his teacher Muktananda, and we're all sitting chanting. And it's a wonderful document of place and time, because it really captures the 60s like nothing you've ever seen. The energy of the 60s, the innocence of the 60s, the burgeoning spiritual sensibility and sensuality, it's all there. And there's Rudy sitting on the lawn, and people with, you know, their little cymbals singing and dancing and tambourines, and it's very, very beautiful and very energetic. And then at one point, Rudy, who's sitting next to Muktananda, is singing and chanting like everybody else, and Muktananda just reaches out and puts his hand on Rudy's neck. And you can see in Rudy's eyes the enormity of the transmission that's occurring. And Bob, who's a beautiful filmmaker, takes all the chanting and fades it out and brings in a kind of sitar music, which changes the whole environment, because everybody's still singing, but now you get totally interiorized with Rudy and you just watch him working, taking in this energy from his teacher. All the same time, he's chanting. And you observe the chant, you observe the experience of what it means to be a great student, what it means to draw energy, what it means to absorb your teacher and the teaching. And it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful to just be in that presence. And I cannot tell you the transmissive power of that to each of us. And I look forward to sharing it with you, because it instructs better than anything I could tell you. You just watch a student teach by being a great student. Everyone seems to want to be a teacher. Everyone wants to share what they know in some way. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people that I deal with in spiritual circles pontificate a lot, me included. But I have to say, the greatest teachers were and are the greatest students. And they remain students the entire time. Because there is never a period where life is not instructing. Never. And that instruction ultimately has one primary goal, which is to erase the person who is listening, to erase the person who is owning this information, to erase the person who's having the experience, and to simply allow the purity of transmission to exist with nobody to interpret it, with nobody in between. Ultimately, all of the teaching is about our becoming empty so that we can become full of the teaching, full of the energy. And what that really means is that you are constantly, constantly breaking yourself down to become more available to this purity of existence. And its purity expresses itself through you and ultimately beyond you and ultimately removes you from the equation. The greatest teachers are, Rudy would describe them as just pipelines of energy. And after a while, these pipelines are completely pure channels for this rush of energy to come moving through you, people in this who are sitting waiting to be filled by it. That movement of energy clears the channel. It opens the channel to this enormous flow. It's funny what that means. So many people think that having a deep flow of energy means you just sit still. That it's all about totally getting out of the way and disappearing into a kind of non-activity. When in fact, the great thing of Rudy's teaching, and this is a rather unique teaching, is that what all that energy does as it funnels through to you is it makes you a highly functioning being. It doesn't bring you into non-activity, it brings you into exquisite activity. Because you become completely alive with the demand of this energy. And this energy is working you. It works you all the time. It's working you even as we sit here now. It's working you through these words. It's working you through the sound and the velocity of speech. It's working you through your own physicality, through your own body. And what you watch when people worked with Rudy is he did not simply offer a teaching which was words and ideas. He did not even offer just a energy force that moved into you and let you sit there or fall over with overwhelming sense of demand and of arrival of this exquisite, exquisite presence. It was more than that. When you were sitting with Rudy in the store, he had you working on so many levels, but the most profound thing was that you would sit with him at his desk and the store was quiet. And you would feel Rudy just emanating through the whole store, and he would look at all of us who were sitting in chairs around his desk, and he would just work with us. He would work. And we would be sitting there like we were in the middle of heaven, like the store disappeared, there was no time, there was no space, there was just this enormous flow of deep nourishment, and we would draw that nourishment in, and we would be sitting there, and some people would be having kriyas and all of these activities, and then the door would open and you hear a little bell and there'd be someone coming in to buy something, and the entire process with Rudy go stop and he would like look at us, and suddenly everybody would get up, people would go make tea, people would get brooms to start sweeping the floor. Activity erupted instantaneously because it was no longer a teaching environment in the sense of people sitting around in a yogic circle. Now it was Rudy's store. And he was serving customers or serving whoever arrived at that moment. And our practice at that moment didn't end because we had stood up, didn't end because he had broke the visual connection with us. It was still going. The store was still a flood of energy. So we would all go and start doing things. We would take rags and clean the statues. We would go downstairs in the basement and help move things around. It was constant energy in motion, so that it wasn't just about life when you sit in a meditative state. It was about life as constant expression of this energy. I think I've told you this story, but I remember helping Rudy at one point. He was handing statues from an upper shelf to be put on the lower shelf. And I was standing there, and he would hand me a statue, and I would take it and put it, and I would take another one. And he said, "What are you doing? You have two hands." And I didn't get that. And then he said, "Use them." And then he would hand me one, two. I was like this, up and down, and I realized I could function in a whole different way. And I didn't have to just limit myself to one hand putting something onto a lower shelf. It was a minor statement, but I never forgot it. And what it meant to me is that one can make oneself so much more available to this flow, not just as an idea, not just as getting out of the way, but as functioning with the energy, acting in the world. And it's amazing what happens when you do that, because it starts to break down your resistance to acting in the world. It breaks down your sense that I can't do, or it won't happen, or I'm not good enough, or I need to have something else before I can. All that gets thrown out of the way. And what you realize is you have everything in this moment to be the very most extraordinary expression of you possible. And I didn't see that teaching in other places. I saw that teaching in Rudy. Rudy was working us moment to moment to have extraordinary lives. Extraordinary lives. Extraordinary lives takes effort. It takes an extraordinary effort. If you are living an ordinary life, which means you're working day and night and you're trying to make a living and take care of paying the bills and doing all of that stuff, yes, that's hard. Yes, that's demanding. Yes, it's kind of a remarkable thing that people do that. But it is, and I hate to say this, ordinary. It's what we all have to do. We don't have to go into the fields and grow the crops and plant the seed and rip up the soil. What we have to do is go to work, get in the car, drive on the freeway, do our job, come home, make dinner. That's what we do. That's our daily life. And so many people think, "Oh my God, it's so hard, I do all this, I do all that." Rudy would say, yes, you do that because you have to. But an extraordinary life does all that and gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to spend 3 hours writing your screenplay that you want to change your life. That's an extraordinary life. That's extraordinary effort. You don't say, "I have to quit my job to do something." You do your job and you do more. It's really interesting. So many people live what I would call the either-or existence. Either I do this or I do that. And Rudy said, no, it's both and. Both and. That's the human dimension of extraordinary lives. To have an extraordinary life, you do everything you're asked to do and you do more. And is it hard? Yes. Is it worth it? You have to tell me. The extraordinary is the effort beyond what you think is comfortable, beyond what you want to do, beyond what your mind says it can do. And the mind will always, always tell you it can't do. The mind is the limitation. It's always the limitation. It's always the place of resistance. The mind is the thing that stops you from becoming who you can become, because the mind doesn't want you to become who you can become. The mind wants to keep you in a safe place. Safe meaning under its protection, or more importantly, under its control. The mind is something that has been created in many ways by your parents, your teachers, your friends, your fears, The mind is this assemblage of directions which tells you, if you do this, you're going to get hurt. If you do that, you're going to be in trouble. And it starts to give you a very confined and defined sense of your life. And ultimately, Rudy says, it becomes so suffocating that it becomes your coffin. And that many people are buried in their coffin of mind long before their life is over. They're already dead because they've created a sense of limitation. So what happens in spiritual life is that you begin to break down the timbers of that coffin. You begin to say no to the ordinary. You start to say yes to the extra effort that you're capable of making. And everyone in this room is capable of making. And even as I'm speaking, I can hear your inner voices going, how can I do that? I can't. It's too hard. I do everything already. That voice, that really sad sort of feeling sorry for yourself voice, is a real limitation in your life. It is what is holding you back from the joy that is possible at every moment. Yes, that joy involves work. And Rudy called this practice work. And he called it work for a very real reason, because it involves a kind of effort, a real effort. And there's so many sort of aspects to spiritual practice and spiritual work, and I teach a whole sort of vast array of them. I teach this thing of doing nothing. I teach a practice which says you are already that which you're looking for, and that there's nothing to do. And that's very appealing to some of you and to me, that we are already the thing we're looking for, that nothing in the world can be attained. Nothing we're looking for is in the future. I teach that because it is a very powerful teaching. And it is a real teaching. But what is real? What is real in all of this is that if you are sitting here and I am saying you are the thing you are looking for, that nothing you're looking for is in the future, and you're sitting here feeling weighed down by your life, sad, defeated, unsatisfied, then for me to say that to you is a deeply troubling statement. And how do you get past that statement? Well, there are two paths that I can describe. One of them is really deeply, deeply sit in the truth that this is it. And let that burn through all of your resistance, and it will do that. It is a very real practice, and it is a very powerful practice. Then there is Rudy's work, which is you are sitting here in your discomfort. You're sitting here in your lack of satisfaction. And what you can do at that point, really, if you want, and I think it's really valuable for most of us, is say no to your own frustration, no to your own anger, no to your own resistance, and take a breath into your heart and hold that breath and ask with every ounce of your being for help to surrender your unhappiness, your dissatisfaction, help to break through this absolutely physically demanding, frustrating tightness that people live with. This sense of I can't, it won't, it's not possible. You can actually break that apart. You actually have the power to go, no, no. Rudy would often say, take that voice out in the alley and slit its throat. You don't have to live with that voice. So one approach to spiritual work and awakening and becoming free is to do this dynamic practice that Rudy has given us, which is a very, very real asking for help and taking charge and using your day-to-day life to make an extraordinary effort to change and grow. The other, and I will call this, if you will, the graduate work, is you come to a place where you have made extraordinary effort, where you have freed yourself of much of the dynamic of negative mind, if you will, or oppressive mind. You have really gotten to a place where you can stare it down, you look at it, and you simply, by looking at it, cause it to wither into nothingness, because your vision is so much more powerful. The light of your consciousness is so much stronger than this stupid negativity that exists inside you. You can actually embarrass it out of existence. But when that happens, there's still stuff. There's still the day. There is still the mechanics of being alive. There's still, if you will, your arthritis or your whatever you're struggling through in the moment, an emotional weight that comes over you for no reason. All of this stuff happens. And a lot of it happens, and you just simply have to go, yes. And in the graduate program, there's no breaking through, there's no dynamic, there's no fighting of anything, because you can just stare at it with such simple ease, and you just stare at this stuff that's arising, which we will call for no better term, life. Life arises in you. What is life? What is life? Good question. It's this sense of being, and this modulating, moving, endlessly changing sense of being that brings joy and discomfort and uplift and downward pulls. It's this thing that's going on inside you, and it's going on inside you since you were born and before you were born. It is life energy. It's a dynamic energy. And so you get to a point where you go, this is what it is. This is life. And you just sit there with life in you, and you observe it from a place of such openness and surrender, the place Rudy has been teaching us to get to. You just go, yes, yes, this is it. And you don't judge it, you don't respond to it, you don't say, this is the good thing, this is the bad thing, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. You just go, yes. It is an extraordinary space to get to where you simply accept what is. When you arrive at that graduate level of work, there is nothing left to do other than be with what is. And as you do that, you experience the final, I think final, maybe wrong, but the sense of final dissolving of all of the last pieces of fluff that still rise up as separate from what is. The stuff inside you that still thinks it is somehow there to observe life or to experience it. The part of it that owns what's happening. All of that stuff will come up in you, and you will just sit there. And now, in the depth of extraordinary and simple practice, you will simply be. Will it be comfortable? Yes. Sometimes it will be beyond comfortable. Sometimes it will be beyond exquisite and joyful. Sometimes you will sit there and it will be fire and emotional agony that has no specific cause. It's not yours. It doesn't come from you or your life or your particular circumstance. It's just there. Why? Because it is life. It is life. And you will sit there, even in that agony, and something remarkable happens, which is you are transformed by that fire. It is burning away something that, whatever it is, we'll call it the separateness, the part of you that somehow feels other or separate from life. It's burning it down until there is nothing in separation, and all of those feelings and all of that energy is no longer being experienced by something other. You are that very thing. You are life itself. You are that energy itself. That's all you are. And when there's no one there to experience it, there is no other. There's no me feeling it. There's only it. You may still have the me and it, but what's gone is the and. There's no, it's not me and it, it's just what is. And that's what we're all arriving at. So we're either doing Rudy's work because our lives are so dense still, and because our involvement in it is so emotional and complicated, we're all so caught in the drama of it, we have to work, because otherwise we are beaten down by it so completely that we can barely get to the car to get on the freeway. And then the freeway makes us want to shoot ourselves. That's not the way to live. It's not the way to live. The way to live is to breathe, rise above, do battle, if you will, with that big stuff, until you are at a place where you are really a master of your own mind, which means you are not manipulated and controlled by your mind. You say no to your mind. It's a big moment where the mind is no longer running the show. And you know it runs the show because it says to you all day long, I'm too tired, I can't do it. Not today, tomorrow I'll do it. It's doing that all the time. You're not in charge, it's in charge. And until you start to go no to that, no, which takes a lot of work and a lot of practice and a lot of extraordinary effort, but only by that effort that's made consistently will you change and get to the point of graduate work. That's what we're all here to do. And we're here in this room because this guy Rudy sat in a little store on 7th Avenue in New York City and sold Oriental art and did this practice and shared it. He shared it in a really dynamic way with other people, and some people, Bo, me, others in this room, took that practice to heart and said, this is good. This is better than the way I've been living. That's all I can tell you. I would go into Rudy's store, or I would go into his class, and I always said this, like Alice through the Looking Glass. I would walk through the door and I was in another universe. And I was in a universe where there was something dynamic changing me, growing me, evolving me into something other. And if any of you knew Bruce Rubin 40 years ago, you would never imagine anybody sitting here saying any of the things I'm saying. It wasn't possible. You know, I was a frightened little kid, and that kid's still in there. You know, and I knew nothing, and that knowing nothing being is still in there, but there's something else functioning, and whatever that is, it can function in you in exactly the same way. In fact, it is functioning, or you wouldn't be sitting in this space. It is a dynamic, transforming energy that Rudy tapped into and taught us how to use. And one of the things that thrills me is that this DVD that now exists captures a whole new segment of Rudy's teaching that I'm going to be sharing with all of you at the first real opportunity, because I think you're going to be blown away by what a gift this is to all of us to have this energy, to have this teaching, to have this extraordinary soul still in our lives and in the world. So I can't wait to do that. I will tell you that the DVD is not 100% done, and there's still a need for some more money to completely finish it. At the end of the DVD, there's a credit place that lists everybody who's donated. I don't mean to make people feel, you know, that that's an important reason to contribute, but your contribution is noted on the DVD, and it really is significant to me. And if any of you feel still like you would like to contribute, you can go online, or you can ask me how to go online and go to the rudymovie.org, I believe it is, and just give another few dollars to get this thing completed. But it will be done within the next few months, and it's going to be one of the great gifts to anybody who finds it. So I say all of this to you today because it's we're in a one-room schoolhouse here. Everybody's at a different level. Everyone's working at it in a different place in their own existence. And I teach from the base level to a pretty high level of this practice. And some of you, I think, along the way get a little confused or a little concerned about what's he talking about? Why is he talking about that stuff? That doesn't make sense to me. Because it shouldn't, perhaps. There's still more work to be done on the material level, but every one of us is working, every one of us is growing, every person in this room is moving in an extraordinary way. Extraordinary because, if nothing else, you guys, on Memorial Day weekend, you know, get in your cars and drive here. You could be at the beach, you could be having brunch, but you took Sunday morning to come here. I call that extraordinary effort. That effort is already playing itself out in your life. Enhance it as much as you can. Do whatever you can to feed that part of your being, and you will have remarkable lives as a result, as well as spiritual content and an overflow and abundance of spiritual energy. So thank you guys all for coming here today. I say this at the end of every class, but my level of gratitude to you is enormous, and it creates this push-pull thing that allows us each to grow each other, and that's the essence of this teaching. It's a two-way street, and we give back and forth continually. Does anybody have any questions today about any of this?
The idea of the separate paths, I reach periods where I just need to really do more Rudy's work, and I assume that's just a constant kind of...
I think so. I mean, that's... it's a delicate balance, and it's the hardest thing to teach exactly, because I often tell people there comes a point where we're doing Rudy's work is avoiding something subtler, which is truly sitting in the fire and doing nothing. And I will call that the graduate work. And there comes a point where doing Rudy's work will take you out of that. It gives you a kind of way of avoiding the burning, when in fact what you want to do is ultimately burn consciously. So there are times I would say to people, see how long you can sit in that fire before you take a double breath. See how long you can allow this burning to really do its thing without your feeling you have to do something to kind of edge away from it. Because that burning is very powerful, and it has to happen. And it will happen in Rudy's work. It will happen with double breath. It will definitely be there. But double breath is not avoidance. You're asking for help to surrender. And surrender doesn't mean escape. Surrender never has to do with escape. It's in anything. It's giving up to the very thing that's pursuing you. Surrender. I surrender. It's really important to get that, because surrender often is to the pain, to the discomfort, to the whatever the thing is that's there that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And so many people take surrender as, I will somehow avoid the problem. You cannot ever avoid it. It's accepted. And what happens in accepting it is the miracle of spiritual work. And you only can know it by doing it. But if you truly enter into the suffering and you don't stand there and fight it, the mere fact that you have accepted it means there is no you resisting. When there's no you resisting, suffering becomes something else. It emerges as another... freeing force. But you can't discover that until you allow yourself to really be in it. But on the other hand, and it's so classical, you can't really surrender until you've been in the battle. There's nothing worse than seeing a soldier walk up to the enemy and say, I surrender, without having ever done anything to fight. That's like cowardly. It doesn't mean anything. It's only when you've done everything you can possibly do to fight this force of resistance and anger and stuff in yourself, and you realize, I can't beat it. I can't do it. And you go, I surrender. The exhaustion of that surrender, the truth and the depth of that surrender, means that that other thing, that burning, really starts to come through, and you go, I can't bear it. I can't bear it. But you do bear it. And as you bear it, it consumes the very thing that's causing it to be, which is you. Your separateness from it. That's exactly what it's dissolving, exactly what it's burning up. And yes, it's not fun. And nobody ever said it was fun. Rudy certainly never said it was fun. But what you do experience when it burns up, at least for periods of time, while it's burning, is this detachment. This sense of not fighting it, therefore you burn consciously, and what you're really experiencing is consciousness. And consciousness is blissful. So you can actually be on fire in misery on one level and in complete joyful surrender on another. And that's the incredible non-dualistic reality of spiritual practice, which I know you know, and which everyone in this room knows, but we forget. And when we forget it is when we're at a level of suffering we haven't experienced before. And that happens because when you're burning up you, we toss all the easy stuff into the fire. You know, I'll give him my pinky, you know, I'll give him the hair off my head, I'll give him some of my eyebrows, you know. We can handle that. But when they start taking the right hand, you know, and when they start grabbing for your leg, and it's really on fire, then you go, this isn't what I bargained for. But it is what you bargained for. It is. It's what you said you wanted. And it's what we all want, is to give all of us 100% to God. Period. 100%. Not 92%. And so when the 92% is gone and that 8% is left, the spiritual work becomes really powerful. Really powerful. Because now you're burning up the last stuff. You've given your body, you've given everything, but now they're saying, give up your idea of who you are. Give up your sense of who you are. You want to be a suffering person who's surrendering. You want to be an egoistic spiritual being who's giving up everything. But the part of you that wants to be that spiritual being has got to go also. You've got to give it up. And that's the part that fights the hardest. The noble self that is really sitting there doing all this work. That too, gone. And when you get to that, the fire gets really hot. It takes a really hot fire to burn that down. And when that happens, you and I will hold hands, you know, we'll commiserate, we'll do whatever we have to do to just say it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Burn. And then you do it. Okay.
About living that extraordinary life, how do you keep, when you say set out on that path or have that ideal or start getting up at 4 in the morning, doing that thing, and then I find that eventually maybe I look around myself and see that people that maybe I'm feeling like alone in that journey maybe or I'm not feeling supported or I feel as though I'm not giving attention to other things the way I used to, and then I start feeling guilty maybe that I'm doing something I shouldn't be. Can you talk to that?
Nobody says an extraordinary life will present or produce extraordinary material result. It may not. You may be knocking your head against something at 4 o'clock every morning like this and getting nowhere. You're just doing it. You're doing it. And then suddenly, you break through. The thing you were trying to crack may not break through. You may not produce the screenplay, the thing you're looking for. You may, but you may not. But what will happen is that effort, that determination, that strength of character, that power within you that is giving itself to something extra becomes deeply alive, and it starts to function in all these other parts of your life. It's not just in your writing, it's just there. You are this unbelievably remarkable person who works hard. You know, if it was all about getting from the world what you're after, that would be such a limited version of this. It could happen, but it's not what it's about. It's about creating people who go through life trying as deeply as they can with every obstacle that comes up. You know, I mean, look, I've been in my business for a long time. You know, I've been a writer for 20 some years in Hollywood or longer. Everything that can hit you comes at me, and it's coming as we speak. You know, stuff that you think you could grow past, that you could break through and it would never happen again. It's not true. It comes at you again and again and again and again from every possible angle. And I got to the point a week or so ago, I said, I can't take it anymore. It's too painful. It's too painful. But as Samuel Beckett said, I can't go on, I'll go on. What else can we do? But that I'll go on is the human nature. It's a remarkable thing. It continues. It goes on. And the fact that we go on, own that. own that. You can. You will. It all happens. And then new life comes. And the more you're in flow, the more that comes. Nothing happens when you drop out. When you resist life, when you shut down, nothing happens. When you give yourself over to life, a lot happens. And when you make extraordinary effort, even more happens. Where does it lead? I can't tell you. But it leads internally to a remarkable configuration that allows you to not be beaten down by the world, but to use the world to transcend. Over and over and over and over. And you cannot at any point buy yourself out of what the world will try to do to you. You can only be brilliantly responsive, optimistic, if you will. Even if you get pessimistic for a while, even if it really hurts for a while, sit down, cry your heart out, do your thing, bang your head against the wall, and then go on. Because that's what we do. It's really what everybody, not everybody, but most people sort of do, but they don't own the richness of what that means. They just kind of trot along again. Okay, I'll go some more. You know, that's the idea, is to do it with life, to do it with energy, with vibrancy, with joy. Just say, okay. And the worst that can happen, what is the worst that can happen? You'll die. You're going to die anyway. So you die. But it's probably not going to happen, probably not anywhere near as quickly as easily or as easily as you would like. You just go on and you have a life. And you have whatever you can squeeze from it. You know, you may get the career thing, you know, because I know everybody seems to want that, but you may instead get an ability to have the most wonderful dinner with somebody you love that other people who have career never get. They don't get it. You know, you're busy all the time. They haven't had 2 minutes of connection with another human being. And you sit down every day and you have this extraordinary wife. The two of you have this amazing connectivity. You have no idea how powerful that is, what a gift it is in the world. So just open your eyes to what is. And then out of that may come, if you will, the greatest love story ever written. And the next thing you know, you'll have this huge unexpected career that will come out of what? Being in the moment. Of opening to life. I'm not trying to predict your career or any of that stuff, just to let you understand that our gifts are in front of us, and we have them if we slow down to recognize them. And they're not always the direction you think they're supposed to come from, but they come, they're there, they're available. Eat them, enjoy them, love them, because that's all you, that's what you get. You know, I mean, someone who walks outside in the morning and takes a breath and says, oh my God, is one of the luckiest human beings on the planet. They just walked outside. They didn't have to do anything but walk outside. The person who gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning and goes to write something, the world is still quiet and still asleep. You know? They're touching the world in a way that so many people never do. May not have anything to do with what they're trying to produce. It's just about greeting the world at that moment in the day. Anyway, don't judge the outcome. Try not to judge the outcome. Just know that you can make remarkable and extraordinary effort in 1,000 different parts of your life. And by doing that, you are satisfying the universe's urge to expand and to express itself in every phenomenal way it can. And you serve it. Your surrender serves it by doing, not by not doing. Okay? Anybody else? Business things have required that I stay in town a little bit longer than I thought, so I don't know if I'll be here next weekend, but I will be here Tuesday, and I will teach class on Tuesday night. Thank you guys for coming.